Boeing's production resumes today, but perhaps not for long. NBAA and AOPA joined to request more time to comment on TSA's large aircraft security program. And an NTSB report angers congressmen. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, November 3rd, 2008. Boeing Commercial Airplanes will have all its plants running today for the first time in 57 days. In a ratification vote on Saturday, 27,000 members of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers decided to end their strike. 74% voted to accept a four-year contract covering facilities in Washington, Oregon, Kansas, and California. Some third shift workers were expected back last night, but all workers are expected to report today. The contract calls for general wage increases of 15% over 4 years, an immediate 16% pension increase, and lump sum signing bonuses of at least $8,000. 4 years is a term longer than Boeing wanted, but shorter than 5 years originally demanded by the union. Boeing faces the potential for another strike by 20,000 members of the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace on December 1st. Contract negotiations with that union began last Wednesday. National Business Aviation Association President Ed Bolin says NBAA has signed a joint letter with the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, asking the Transportation Security Administration for an extension of the comment period on its proposed large aircraft security program. The controversial plan would bring closer TSA oversight to Part 91 operations and the operators of any aircraft over 12,500 pounds. The proposal was published on Thursday in the Federal Register, triggering a 60-day comment period that both aviation groups contend is inadequate. The letter says, in part, quote, "This proposal represents a significant regulatory change in the conduct of private aircraft operations. We believe that the 60-day comment period is insufficient in order to provide TSA with answers to the substantial number of questions posed in the proposal and to provide sufficient time for community education and feedback. We believe TSA will benefit substantially by a 60-day extension to the comment period and the use of public meetings," unquote. Bolin added, quote, "It's important that whatever is done to promote security be tailored to the operation and the risk involved. It also has to be prudent, effective, reasonable, and workable. This proposal does not appear to be in line with those principles. I think our comments will be substantial," unquote. To encourage just that, NBAA has added a link for members to comment from its website at nbaa.org. On Thursday, the National Transportation Safety Board released its preliminary report on the crash of a medevac flight September 27th near Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland. The report stated the pilot's request for an airport surveillance radar approach into Andrews was denied by a controller on duty who said he was not current and qualified to provide that service. The Aerospatiale AS-365 medevac helicopter designated Trooper 2 hit trees and terrain in fog about 2 miles short of the runway at Andrews. Pilot Stephen Bunker and three others died. There was one survivor. Members of Congress are threatening hearings into why assistance wasn't given that pilot. Representative Dutch Ruppersberger said, quote, "That surprises me as a member of Congress who comes in and out of Andrews when I go to Iraq, Afghanistan, whatever, that any helicopter, any plane in distress cannot be helped in a fog situation. I'm not going to make a comment one way or another because I don't know enough about the integral facts, but when there's a life on the line, we do certain things," unquote. CBS reports the FAA says it's not a requirement that controllers at Andrews be trained for ASR because controllers trained in the procedure are available at a regional facility in Warrenton, Virginia. The NTSB's investigation will continue. Grobe Aerospace has been treading financial water looking for needed investment. On Thursday, CEO Niall Olver broke the bad news that the storied plane maker has filed for full insolvency. Effective today, most Grobe employees are being laid off. A statement on the company's website attributed to Olver reads in part, quote, "As we already announced, Grobe Aerospace was forced to enter the preliminary insolvency process on August 18, 2008. Since this time, all of our efforts have been towards researching a new investor to allow continuing our business in the best possible way. Despite a number of ongoing promising negotiations with various parties, we have unfortunately not been able to secure a new investor within the time frame allowed by German law. To ensure the August to October salary payments for all employees in Matsys, Grobe Aerospace will now have to file for insolvency. A core team will remain in Matsys to keep business activities running on a minimum scale. The remaining management team, together with the Grobe Aerospace AG in Zurich, are continuing the ongoing discussions with potential investors, unquote. It probably was not helpful in talks with financiers when concerns about Grobe's stability led Bombardier to bail on an agreement under which Grobe was going to fabricate parts of the upcoming Learjet 85. Development of Grobe's own SPN light jet appear also to be in limbo. Up next on ANN, Russia says a crashed 737 was being flown by pilots with false credentials. Searchers think they found enough remains to finally ID Steve Fawcett. And a Blue Angel pilot is charged with being less than angelic. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 3rd. I'm Paul Plagg. A Russian aviation safety inspector says the pilots of the Aeroflot Nord jetliner that crashed during its approach to Perm September 14th had falsified documentation of their qualifications. Gennady Kursenkov is head of Russia's State Aviation Inspection Service. He told TASS on Thursday the pilots of the Boeing 737 had submitted false documents to the airline showing that they had passed pre-flight courses, and even the flight attendants had false documents saying they were qualified to fly on international flights. Transportation Minister Igor Levitin says investigators have found no technical problems with the 737. He says both engines were running at the time of the crash, which killed all 88 souls on board. Kurtzenkoff says the tragedy was caused by, quote, a lack of coordination by the crew and their insufficient preparation for flights, unquote. Reports are conflicting, but controllers said the pilot appeared to be under stress and was not responding to their instructions. Aeroflot acquired 51% of the regional airline in August of 2004 and renamed it Aeroflot Nord. Forensic investigators are forming a picture of what really happened to Steve Fawcett. While it could make for a fascinating reality show on the Discovery Channel, it's not likely to bring much comfort to anybody close to the missing adventurer. Officials say two large human bones have been found about a half mile east of the site where searchers also found the wreckage of the Belanca decathlon in which Fawcett was last seen over a year ago. Those bones have been sent to a lab for DNA testing. Earlier bone fragments were either too small to test or turned out not to be human. Searchers have also found tennis shoes, Fawcett's Illinois driver's license, and some credit cards. Some of the artifacts exhibit animal bite marks. Madera County Sheriff John Anderson says the new evidence, quote, reinforces our theory that animals dragged him away, unquote. Fawcett's widow, Peggy, called the new discovery of bones, quote, another step in the process of completing the investigation into the tragic accident that took Steve's life, unquote. The U.S. Navy Blue Angels appeared over the weekend at Lackland Air Force Base in Texas with their new pared-down five-jet show. The Associated Press reports that Blue No. 4 is missing because one of the team's pilots was removed from duty for having an inappropriate relationship with one of the team's 23 female support personnel. Captain Tyson Dunkelberger, public affairs officer for the Blue Angels, declined to identify the parties involved and added that the missing No. 4 jet doesn't necessarily mean its pilot is the one involved. A total of 110 men and 23 women work on the show, and all six of the FA-18 demo pilots are men. Dunkelberger says a military administrative hearing will determine further disciplinary action, up to or including removal from the military. The team has two shows left this season, one at Kennedy Space Center this weekend, and the season finale at Naval Air Station Pensacola on November 14th and 15th. This isn't the first time a pilot has been removed for behaving inappropriately. Military.com reports that in 2000, the Marine Corps officer flying Blue Angel No. 2 was removed over a dalliance with the team's female public affairs officer. A safety feature which made its debut earlier this year in $500,000 piston singles is now finding its way into light sport aircraft. Sport Air USA has announced that all new Sting S3 LSAs equipped with the TrueTrack EFIS autopilot system will include a straight level button which can be used as an emergency resource. Pressing the button labeled SL on the Sting's panel commands the autopilot to level the wings and lock in heading and altitude, giving the pilot a break in the event of spatial disorientation. For a passenger faced with the pilot's sudden incapacitation, the SL button is a potential lifesaver. Sport Air USA President Bill Canino calls the button a significant advance in flight safety. Quote, "We want pilots to know they are flying a capable and user-friendly airplane with backup systems that are easy to deploy. And we want passengers to feel confident in the knowledge that there are simple steps they can take to protect themselves if the situation calls for it," unquote. Still ahead, two Brits win the day, but an Austrian wins the year. New Zealand bails out the U.S. Air Force way down under. And if you're going to handle baggage for Delta, it helps if you like cats. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800 for Cessna.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, November 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. The final event of the 2008 Red Bull Air Race season came down to a battle of the Brits. Paul Bonhomme won the day in Perth on Sunday in front of a crowd of more than 200,000 spectators, while countryman Nigel Lamb placed a career-best second. That put him on the podium for the first time since taking third in San Diego last year. But both men, flying Edge 540s, conceded the season points championship to Austrian Hans Arc, who stood beside them on the podium in third place for the day, but amassed 61 points for the season to Bonhomme's 54. At a good-natured press conference afterward, both Arc and Bonhomme agreed the outcome will only fuel arguments through the offseason about who was really the best pilot in 2008. Bonhomme smiled, quote, "Clearly it's me," unquote. Arc replied, quote, "It's not just about who's the best pilot, it's tactics, it's the plane, and it's the team," unquote. You know, I'm getting really sick of arguments about the previous season's Red Bull series monopolizing the conversation in my local pilot's lounge all winter. Anyway, the 2009 Red Bull Air Race World Championship race calendar will be announced soon. As most U.S. residents were reminded by the change back to standard time this weekend that winter's near, just the reverse is happening in the Southern Hemisphere. On Antarctica, it's spring, and the year's few decent flying weeks are coming. The Royal New Zealand Air Force wouldn't normally be flying to the South Pole this early in the season, but responded to a call last week to assist the crew of a U.S. Air Force C-17 Globemaster that had been stranded for several days in Antarctica by mechanical problems. The RNZAF dispatched a P-3K Orion Wednesday with three U.S. Air Force maintenance engineers and some spare parts to repair a faulty fuel control unit on the C-17 that had prevented the aircraft from resuming duty. Royal New Zealand Air Force Commodore Gavin Howes said, quote, "While it is early in the season for the Air Force to be flying to the ice, and by its very nature there is some risk involved with Antarctic operations, our crews are well trained and have 3 years of P-3K ice experience to call upon," unquote. The U.S. Air Force couldn't send its own C-130s because crews were still in the States and unavailable for the mission. The mission by the Kiwis came under provisions of an emergency support agreement between the U.S. National Science Foundation and Antarctica, New Zealand. The stricken Globemaster has now returned to Christchurch, New Zealand, and is beginning scheduled flights back to the Antarctic ice. As of our deadline for this Aerocast, there was no word yet on how everything went yesterday with the expected fiery Earth re-entry of a 1,400-pound tank full of toxic ammonia jettisoned last year from the International Space Station. NASA had warned that 15 pieces of the tank were expected to survive the heat and reach the ground, the largest piece weighing 40 pounds with a terminal velocity of about 100 miles an hour. NASA Space Station Program Manager Mike Suffredini has earlier said, quote, "This has got to be a very low likelihood that anybody will be impacted by it, but still, it is a large object and pieces will enter, and we just need to be cautious. If anybody found a piece of anything on the ground Monday morning, I would hope they wouldn't get too close to it," unquote. The tank was originally used as a reservoir, boosting the space station's cooling system in the event of leaks. Last year's upgrades to the station made the tank obsolete, but engineers didn't think it could withstand a ride back to Earth aboard a space shuttle. If you do find anything strange lying on the ground today, NASA urges you to contact your local officials. And finally, a baggage handler got an unwelcome surprise Thursday when she opened the cargo door of a Delta flight that had just landed in Atlanta from Portland and discovered a cheetah had escaped its cage and was loose in the cargo hold. Delta spokeswoman Betsy Talton said the shipment to an unidentified owner went just fine until one of two cheetahs apparently got out of its cage during the flight. The Associated Press reports handlers from an Atlanta zoo were brought in to tranquilize both animals in a closed hangar and take them away while the owners were contacted. There's no word on the condition of the startled baggage handler, but the AP did have good news for passengers of the flight. None of their luggage was damaged. Which, you know, is almost kind of a shame, because for once, the airline would have had a really good excuse. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today in my weekly chat with CFI Bob Miller, we'll cover thoughts on two pilots who filed an instrument flight plan without holding instrument ratings and touch briefly on the current controversy at the National Association of Flight Instructors. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.